All right, and welcome everyone to another Sunday afternoon here on Revolution Radio. And I'm also on PSN Radio, thanks to Angel Espino. I have a very special guest on today. My guest is a life coach, and she's also an author. Her book is From Chaos to Clarity, Getting Unstuck and Creating a Life You Love by Alex Braddy. This book has been characterized as the soup to nuts guide for how to recognize why you're stuck, how to unstick it, and how to create a life you want, a life that works for you. Alex Braddy was a superstar in the public opinion polling field, one of the youngest partners ever in a prestigious Washington research firm. Her job was to listen to people and find out what they think and how they feel. She tuned into their emotional responses to get deeply in touch with their whys in life. The irony is that during the 15 years she was rising to the top of her field, she wasn't listening to her own inner voice. To discover her true emotions, to pay attention to her deepest desires, and how to understand why she was so miserably stuck in her own life. Well, I want to bring up my guest right now. Welcome to the show, Alex Braddy. Welcome to Revolution Radio.
Thanks for having me, Steve. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Well, you're very welcome. We're going to talk about being a life coach, and we're going to talk about your life a little bit and talk about a lot of things.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Well, yeah, just give me a little bit of a bio about you, Alex, about your life and about you.
Sure, absolutely. And thank you for the lovely intro. You know, just starting there a little bit. So I had this corporate research career for about 15 years. And, you know, I did very well in it. I got to the top of my field. And it was one of those situations where from the outside, it looked like, you know, I had it going on, right? I had the big job and the clients and I was traveling all over the country doing work for them, presenting, attending strategy meetings, all that kind of stuff. And so it looked good from the outside, but on the inside, I was kind of dying a little more every day, because over time, the work just became less and less fulfilling for me. And it just didn't have the meaning that it once held. So when I first got into that world, you know, of course I wanted to, and I started down that path, but over time, it became too much. I wasn't interested, and I was really carrying a heavy workload. So I was burned out, I was run down, and I essentially had to sort of take a step back from my life and say, you know, is this what I want my life to look like 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now? And the answer to that was definitely not. I did not want to be waking up and still sort of having the same days and the same weeks that I was. And so that, of course, prompted me to say, okay, well, if not this, then what? And that sparked a whole kind of self-discovery journey. I myself hired a life coach a few years ago and began the journey of becoming much more self-aware that I was essentially creating this world for myself. And of course, that can be a tough pill to swallow if you don't like your situation like I didn't. You know, it's kind of like, what do you mean I created it myself? I don't even like this. I want to change it. But we do, right? I mean, we make choices and decisions that lead us to where we are today. And there's actually something very empowering about taking that responsibility that you create your life. Because even though you may have created by default up until now that you didn't quite realize what you were creating, if you take the responsibility for that and put yourself squarely back in the driver's seat, essentially you can say, okay, well, now that I'm aware of that, then I can actually set out to deliberately create the life that I actually want. And so once I kind of realized that, I also realized that I couldn't stay where I was anymore. I kind of had discovered this new knowledge or this new kind of empowering way to look at things. And so it became very clear for me that essentially I was ready to move on from that and to make change in my life. And of course, I didn't figure it out all overnight. I mean, this took a while to do. But ultimately, what I realized was that I really wanted to be serving other people in a way that felt very meaningful and positive to me. And ultimately, where I landed, as you said, is, you know, I'm a certified coach now, and I help people navigate their life challenges if they're feeling burned out or stressed or frustrated or they're stuck in what, where they're at. That's what I do now. And of course, the book is part of that. It's part of me putting all those steps in terms of how do you get unstuck, putting all those steps in one place and making that an accessible roadmap for people to follow. So I'm a coach, I'm a writer, and also a speaker as well now.
Well, I forgot to mention alexbrady.com is your website, and the place to get your book is alexbradybooks.com, and I'm going to put both of those links into the chat room. But explain maybe why a lot of people seek life coaches, Alex.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, life coaching is sort of this relatively new phenomenon. I mean, it's been around for a while. I think it's becoming a little more mainstream now. But essentially, I mean, the people that I work with the most, I mean, sometimes they feel stuck in their relationships. Sometimes they feel stuck in their career, or they're burned out. They're just so overwhelmed and stressed with where they're at, whether it's in their career or their life. And they're looking for that work-life balance that they crave so much. And sometimes we just need guidance and help to get us to where we want to be. Because when we're in it ourselves, sometimes it's really hard to see those things, right? We kind of get stuck in the chaos, you know, and we don't see clearly what our options are. We just think that life has got to stay this way. And then, of course, we get more and more frustrated and depressed over the way it is. And so when I work with people, essentially what I do is, you know, I work with them to say, okay, where are you now? And what do you not like about that? And where do you want to be? And the reasons why, you know, what's the reason you want to be there? What's the reason you want to go in that direction? And then how we build the bridge to get there. So that's really my work, is helping people essentially build that bridge from where they are right now and where they want to go. And it's very much a forward momentum, forward-looking, action-oriented process. So we may look backwards a little bit to see, you know, maybe some things in your past have sort of had an impact that hold you back now, that keep you stuck. But once we've identified those, then it's about, you know, shifting our perspective on them or using them in a different way in our life, instead of sort of sometimes we become the victim because something happened to us, but we don't have to be. We can change how we're looking at that. We can change how it shows up in our life and essentially release ourselves from that past and be able to start moving forward again and getting unstuck.
Well, one thing I didn't mention, Alex, but you had a very, very desirable professional career. You was actually a contributor to Fox News at one time. Did that play any kind of a role in your decision on changing your life?
Well, yes and no. So I did, like I said, sort of a few minutes ago, I really did have this career that looked like I kind of had it all, right? I was on TV a lot, and I did have this big career, but ultimately it wasn't, you know, while it may have been meaningful for other people, and I worked with wonderful people, by the way, very, very smart, and very talented people. And I have a lot of gratitude for the life that I was in, even though I ultimately gave it up and it wasn't for me. I have a lot of gratitude for what I learned there and the people that I met throughout that journey. And so while it's still meaningful for them, it just became not meaningful for me. I mean, we're all on our different paths and our different journeys. And so for me, I had to sort of look at it and say, well, gee, do I want to keep living this life if I'm not finding meaning and fulfillment in it and just kind of showing up because I kind of feel I should, you know, like, hey, because it's easy to get into that, right? It's sort of, hey, you're good at it, so keep doing it. You know, hey, you're at the top of your field, so stay there. Why would you give that up? Sometimes that seems a little bit nuts, but if it's not making you happy, if it's not bringing you joy and fulfillment, then I think you do have to stop and question that and say, you know, it is my life after all, and I still have plenty of it to go. You know, I'm not at the end of my days yet. So how do I want to spend that time? And for me, that was the big burning question and the reason that I really felt that it was time for change for me.
Did you find it took a lot of courage to leave that high-paying professional career job?
Yeah, it did. It definitely did. And I certainly didn't make the decision overnight. It was a year or two in the making. I mean, that's how much I really weighed this up because, I had 15 years in this field, and if I wasn't going to stay in it, what was I going to do next? So there was a lot of angst around that initially, but I kept kind of, we get so used to listening to that neg those negative voices that come in, right? That when we feel we want to do something differently, or maybe we have a great idea. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, where you have that idea and immediately in your head you hear, you can't do that. Don't be ridiculous. You don't know anything about that. Just go back to what you're doing. You should be doing this instead. And so part of what I learned on my journey was essentially how to recognize that those voices are not real. Really, it's our ego that's talking to us. It's scared. It doesn't like change. And the moment we suggest change, of course, in it comes trying to like keep us in our place. So recognizing those voices for what they are, and then importantly, quieting them so that I could actually tune into my true self. Some people call it their higher self, their divine self, your true self, your real self, however way you want to talk about it. But there are other voices you can tune into instead of the negative chatter. And that really is that positive self-talk. And that true self has all the answers to the questions that you're looking for, right? And it knows what's best for you. It knows what you want in your heart and in your soul. And so I was able to really tap into that and follow that instead of listening to those negative voices. And that was definitely a new thing for me to do because over time I had become very divorced from my feelings. And being a researcher, as you can imagine, it's all about logic. It's all about can we rationally measure this? And it's all about working from your left side of the brain. The right side of the brain often gets left behind. And so that was a whole new thing for me to sort of trust in this true self, trust in what I really felt in my heart and in my soul that I wanted to be doing. So, yeah, it was scary, but I kind of put one foot in front of the other and just started taking baby steps towards what I wanted to create. And when we do that, when it's not, a huge radical change, then we are able to move through it, I think, just a little bit easier, a little bit with a little bit more confidence around what we're doing.
Well, it seems like you found your calling, Alex. You must have had the great advantage of being somewhat financially secure to quit that high-paying job and to seek what you are doing now. What would you tell someone that doesn't really have that luxury that
Yeah, great question, Steve. Thank you for asking that. You're right. I was very blessed that I was able to take a little time off in between. But, and I have been there where you're living paycheck to paycheck, and that's not possible, right? You really have to sort of have something lined up. If you're going to leave where you are right now. And what I always say about this is it's not about radical change. I would never say to someone just, oh, you don't like your job, just quit it and, figure it out. No, not at all. Because apart from anything else, wherever we go, there we are. So even if you think it's all about your job and the people in your job, and if you just had a different job, things would be better. You got to think again and look more closely at that because you're taking yourself. So it's about looking inwards and seeing, okay, what's going on with me? Are there changes that I can make that will make my life better? It's not about what's going on outside of you. And so what I tell people to look at that first in terms of, okay, let's take a deeper dive. It's not just about your circumstances and the situation you're in. It really is about you because, as I said earlier, you really are creating your situation. You really are creating your life, whether you realize it or not. It is a part of what's going on inside you. And it's part of those subconscious beliefs that we are all carrying around. We're operating from those. So taking a look at those. But the other part is, if you figured out you really do want change, is doing it incrementally. And, when we talk about finding our calling, I mean, sometimes people feel like if they find their calling or their higher purpose, or their passion, that suddenly they've got to go out and make money doing that. But I don't think it has to be that way. Yes, some people do that, but it doesn't have to always take that form. I mean, it could be a hobby that you absolutely love to do. It could be a charity or a cause that you feel very passionate passionate about and getting involved in it. And so it's, you know, how do you bring these things into your life that are going to have more meaning for you? And I think it's about trying them on as well. You know, sometimes we think, well, I really, really want to go do that. And we can walk down that path and discover, uh-oh, it actually isn't all that I thought it would be. So the other part of the doing the incremental change and finding other ways to bring our passion and what we're interested in into our life is to try it on, right? So let's say, you know, you may find that your passion is all about animals and your dream is to open some animal rescue and to run that. Well, are you going to do that overnight? No. How about instead going to your local animal rescue and finding out if you can volunteer a little bit of your time, finding out more about how it works, you know, and what happens throughout the whole process of, you know, in taking animals and how they get cared for? How do you find homes? I mean, really trying that on and seeing, is this for me? And if it is, then you're making connections too, right? You're getting involved in that world. And all the while you're bringing that fulfillment into your life, but you haven't gone and quit your job yet. And you may not be making money from it yet, but you're taking small steps towards what could be your actual dream. So I think it's about small steps. And I think it's about also, you know, you've got to do the inner work as well to make sure that you're not just changing the scenery around you and then playing out the same old story just with different scenery and different players.
Well, I have a similar story there, Alex. I'm not quite living my dream yet, but I did have a dream as a young boy. I used to listen to talk radio with my dad a lot and on the AM stations when there weren't a lot of FM stations around. I'm talking about the late 60s and early 70s and that, but I remember listening to the guys like Larry King and some of the other bigger AM talk shows that were out there. And I always wanted to do that when I was a boy. And I got the chance about almost 3 years back and I started researching it. And I found that the internet was a good way to start out. So, you know, I would kind of like to do that myself and get on AM and FM. But that's not going to be easy. But yeah.
But you're taking those steps, though, as you said, right? I mean, can you go from not doing anything in radio to having, you know, your full-blown show on an AM or FM station? Probably not. It's not that realistic, right? We have to work up to these things. But you're doing what you can, which is being a radio host. And, you know, you've got a couple of shows and you're doing those consistently. And every time you do them, you're getting more in touch with, you know, oh, I really love this. This is truly my path. I want to explore it more. And of course, in being in this world now, I'm sure you're making connections, you're getting your name out there, and you're discovering also probably what you may not like about this, right? I'm sure with everything that we do, there's always part of it that is not all roses, right? Even if you find your calling, there's always part of the job or the thing that you do that maybe you don't love. But that's kind of the key, isn't it? It's sort of figuring out what it is that you love, even with the stuff that you may not actually love, right? We're always going to have part of it that isn't our favorite. But if our why and what we love to do is so compelling, it doesn't really matter. We just see it as part of what has to get done to get to where we want to be. So you're taking the steps, Steve. I mean, you're sort of living proof of what I'm describing and sort of every day taking another step towards your dream and putting yourself out there to do it.
I do. I am. And I actually do have the chance to get on two FM stations and one AM down there in Southern California, but I need to come up with about $100, $125 a week or about $500 a month for the actual, unless I can get some advertisers, you know, I can get on the FM within a month right now if I'd like to. But well, let's get back to the book, Alex. From Chaos to Clarity, how is this book different from the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books out there about self-help?
Right. Yes. Why do we need another self-help book? There's already thousands, millions of them out there. And for me, the biggest difference that I think about my book versus a lot of the books that are out there is this. So many of the self-help or personal development books are out there essentially take a specific aspect of personal development and kind of take a deep dive on it. And that's great if you're in that place and there's one thing you really want to focus on. But if you're at the beginning of your journey, if you're just starting out and just kind of want to stick your toe in the water of this whole self-development thing, then my book is the place to start because it really is a roadmap from A to Z in terms of how do you go all the way from being stuck to getting unstuck. And it's laid out in such a way that it's a step-by-step. Essentially, I'm sort of gently guiding you through the different steps that you need to take to get there. And it's very action-oriented. So it's not just my story and how I got myself unstuck. I mean, there's part of that woven in there, but it's really about the reader. And it's giving the reader action steps and specific processes and exercises and techniques that they can use in their life so that they can get things moving again. So I think that that is really the biggest difference.
How does somebody tell if they're stuck in their life?
That's a great question. And I think most people know they are because the symptoms show up pretty strongly. But if you're not sure, I mean, here's some examples. So, I mean, if your life literally isn't going the way you want it to go, and you don't know how to change it, you're stuck. Or if you're sort of living Einstein's definition of insanity, which I was at one point, which is, you know, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, chances are you're stuck. Or if you are just feeling, you know, burned out, overwhelmed, stressed, frustrated, anxious about where your life is at, and you're really just not sure what to do about that or how to change it, how to make things better, then chances are you're stuck as well.
Oops, sorry about that. I just realized I was muted.
No worries.
How does somebody start to change something when they are stuck? Where does one begin?
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to complete it. Where does someone begin?
Yeah, so I think the very first step is to recognize that you do create your own situation, as I've been saying. So it really is about taking that personal responsibility and looking at your situation for what it is, right? So if I don't like my situation, okay, it may be hard to sort of feel, did I really create this? But if you're being honest, you can look back in your life and you can look at sort of some of the choices and decisions you made that ultimately kind of led you down the path to where you're at. So the very first part is essentially owning that you create your own life. And in doing so, then you're empowering yourself to therefore then change it, right? So you may have created your life by default up until this point, meaning that you didn't quite realize that it would take you here, right? You weren't really clear on where you were going. Maybe you were kind of just sort of following along because you felt you should, or you just kind of, this is the path you started on, so you just stay on it, which is what I did, and kind of just go along on autopilot almost. So sometimes we do that and we don't realize that we're actually creating this thing, but we can, once we get on this path, then we become much more self-aware that we are able to deliberately create. So I think the very, very first step is sort of owning that, owning your situation and owning the fact that you're creating it and realizing then that it's the beginning of unlocking everything and starting to get clear on what you do want so you can start that journey on creating it.
Do you see clients having problems looking at the man or the woman in the mirror and scrutinizing oneself?
Yeah, because it's scary, right? Sort of inherently, if we look at ourselves, there's some kind of implication that change is involved, right? So there's sort of two layers of scariness, as it were. There's the layer of, well, what if I look in there and I don't like what I see, then what? And then there's the other layer of scariness, which is, yeah, probably change is needed. And of course, nobody loves change, right? I mean, we are, as human beings, we're kind of inherently resistant to change. So there's sort of this double layer of scariness. But once you do look in there, and I can assure you, there aren't monsters in there. Okay, there are no monsters under the bed here. In fact, when you look within, it gives you knowledge and it gives you a place to start, because up until this point, you've been operating off of a set of beliefs that you're carrying around in your subconscious. And some of the classic ones, you know, are I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I don't deserve this. You know, some of those beliefs that we may have picked up a lot younger in life, like as a child, because we're absorbing what we hear. You know, beliefs around money are a big one. Sometimes you hear from your parents, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. You have to work really hard for money. You know, well, we're not rich in this family. We never will be. I mean, some of those things that you heard as a child, you internalized, because that's what we do. I mean, it's not your parents' fault. I'm not pointing the finger of blame at anyone here, but it's what happens is that as children, we absorb what we see and hear. That's what we're meant to do. And then it's in your subconscious. And you're carrying it with you, and you're making decisions from that place without sometimes realizing it. And that can all contribute to you being stuck. So as you look within, you actually are able to uncover some of those beliefs you're carrying around with you in your subconscious that maybe they served you well at one point, but they probably aren't now. Many people refer to them as limiting beliefs or self-sabotaging beliefs, because they are kind of counteracting under the surface a lot of what you want to consciously set yourself up to do. So by looking inside, you can actually identify those. You can often identify where they came from, which then allows you to say, you know what? That's not my belief. I mean, I've been carrying around for a long time, but it's not mine. I can release that and replace it with a new belief that serves me better and sets me up to make decisions that are going to take me in the direction that I want to go. So it's realizing the value in looking within that helps you get past that initial fear that there aren't going to be monsters, nothing scary is really going to happen. And in fact, getting that knowledge only puts you closer to starting things moving again and moving towards the life you want. So you're essentially, again, empowering yourself to make new decisions and take action.
Yes. I can't tell you how many times as a very young boy, Alex, I actually went out in the backyard to look for that money tree that that I thought was out there.
Exactly, right? I mean, that's such a common one. I think, and money is one that, you know, no matter what your background is, you heard parents or adults talking about money and their beliefs around money. And so many of us carry these limiting beliefs around with us about money that we picked up at an early age. And it's really worth examining those and looking at those, because you know, let's face it, you know, I think all of us sort of, you know, we're all looking to how can we get more money? How can we be more financially abundant? And so that's really a big one, and unpacking what's going on behind that so that you can shift it for yourself and shift your mindset around money and create that clear goal in where you want to go.
Yes. How would you go about teaching someone to be unstuck in their life?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not going to go into all the details, right? But I mean, in a nutshell, I think, you know, there are some really key steps that have to happen. So like I said, the first one is realizing you create your own situation. The second one is really looking at those subconscious beliefs and what's going on there, and do they need to be reprogrammed? And in fact, there's a whole chapter in the book devoted to just that, the whole reprogramming process, I call it. So people, when they read the book, they'll know exactly how to do this so they can do it for themselves. And then there's a step of recognizing that negative chatter for what it is, right? And being able to tune it out and tune in the positive self-talk and where all the answers are to those questions you have. You know, what is my calling? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? What is my passion? I don't know any of the answers to this. I wish someone would come along and tell me. Well, no one's going to come along and tell you, because you are the only person that knows for you, and you already have those answers within you. So again, a whole chapter devoted to that, so people can know how to do it, and they're able to do it for themselves after they work through the processes in the book. And then another step is essentially releasing our past and a lot of the things that kind of hold us in place. And what I mean by that is, you know, if we're holding on to blame, resentment, feelings of revenge, we feel we were wronged, and we still have this sort of bitterness around maybe trauma that happened to us or life events that we feel really sent us down a different path than we wanted to be on. You know, the fact is the past. You cannot change that. And so it's about not dwelling there anymore. It's about releasing that. And a big part of that is forgiveness. And how do you forgive? Because it can be so incredibly challenging to forgive if we feel we've really, really been wrong. So forgiving, releasing the past. And once you've sort of done some of those key steps, now you're in a place to open up to possibilities. You're in a place where you can start to really evaluate the different aspects of your life. And while we're holistic beings, you can break those parts of your life down and look at them fairly objectively, actually, to say, you know, what do I not like here? You know, so whether it's relationships or work or money or spirituality or community, social relationships, friends, that kind of thing. What do I not like about what's going on in my world here? And what do I want? And why do I want that? You know, how do I want to feel when I have it? And essentially starting to place your focus on what it is that you want, because so whatever we place our focus on is what grows. So if we're so stuck over here and we're only focused on what doesn't work for us and what's going wrong and everything that we can complain about, because let's face it, we can all go into that downward spiral. But if we do that, we create more of it. If we shift our mindset over here and we're clear on what we want, then we can start creating steps to get there, like actually set out an action plan and look at, say, every day, what is one step that I can take today to move me towards where I want to go? And if what you want feels very out of reach, then I always say to people, okay, imagine this. What would you do if it didn't seem impossible? What's the one thing you would do today if what you want doesn't seem impossible? And whatever that is, go do it. And it, you know, as we were saying earlier, take those small steps, start moving yourself towards what you want. So that's sort of the nutshell, but some of the key highlights of what's in the book and what's required to essentially start getting people unstuck and moving again in their life, going in the direction that they want to.
It sounds like you had a motorcycle gang going by there a few minutes ago, but I hope they wasn't, things
yeah,
are starting
I think
to rumble
there.
It was
just a loud truck. Sorry about that.
Is that what that was? Okay. But
yeah.
I don't believe that family and friends purposefully go out, intend to hurt someone with, like you mentioned a few minutes ago, well, you're never going to be able to do that, or you're not good enough to do that. But why do you think family and friends do that to people that they love?
I think a big part of it is protection, right? Especially if it's family. We don't want to see a loved one get hurt or fail, right? We don't want to sort of see them put themselves out there and then, you know, it doesn't work. And now what? You know, there's pieces to pick up. And so I think that part of it is protection, especially, if you're a parent and you're dealing with a young child. But the fact is, you know, we all kind of have to fly and leave the nest. And failure is a big part of having success. Failure is a key part of life, because if you have a failure or a success, it's all an experience. And that's the only way we learn and grow. And in fact, I mean, if you talk to any of the very successful people that you see out there, you know, that sort of are held up as these beacons in business or in their personal life or whatever, every single one of them will tell you how many failures they had before they had success. I mean, Michael Jordan, amazing NBA player. I mean, look at the career that he had. And he has this wonderful quote about how many shots he's missed in his career, how many times, you know, the game, the winning game was, whether to win or lose the game was hanging on him, and he missed that game shot, and how many times those things have happened. And he attributes all those failures to why he succeeds, because he needed to have those experiences so that he knew that, oh, that didn't work. That didn't work. So, okay, I explored that avenue. It didn't work. So I'll go down another one. And so all of those things that happen, they're all part of your journey. So Don't be afraid of failure. Failure is part of life. And if you've never had a failure, then, you know, you probably haven't quite stepped outside your comfort zone. You're probably kind of hiding and playing small, but it's okay to have them. I mean, you know, in nearly all situations, what is the worst that can happen? You basically say, well, that didn't work. I guess it's time to do something else or try it a different way and just pick yourself up, learn from it, of course, and then move forward.
Yes, I actually caught a very good phrase a couple of weeks back, Alex. I guess it's sort of a philosophical phrase, but it went, the master has failed 1,000 times more than the apprentice will ever attempt.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that's exactly how the master became a master, because he or she failed 1,000 times along the way. That's exactly right.
How does not enough, well, I guess it could be a syndrome, but how does it play in someone who is stuck in life?
Yeah, we're very focused on this, right? That we don't have enough, or it's not good enough. And part of that, I mean, where that comes from is that we're comparing. Right? We're comparing our situation to someone else. You know, well, I don't have enough of this. Well, why do you feel you don't have enough of it? Because you're looking at someone else who you feel does have enough or has too much or has a plentiful supply. And when we walk down that road of comparison, that, you know, oh, such and such is so much further ahead in their career than I am, or, you know, wow, they have like the perfect marriage. I wish I could find my soulmate. I mean, whatever it is, it really just sets you up to be in a place that's so unproductive, because everybody's on their own journey, right? We're all moving at different speeds and we're all having different experiences. And not only that, whatever you see on the outside, it may not be what's going on, right? I mean, I'm a prime example of that. You know, some people were very surprised when I said that I was resigning and leaving this longtime career behind, because didn't you have it all going on? I thought you were happy. I thought you were doing it. Well, I was putting the game face on every day, right? I was wearing that mask so that I was still, you know, delivering for my clients and doing my work. But it's tiring to wear that mask. It's tiring to show up every day and not fully want to be there. And so, you know, it is about essentially, you know, taking that mask off and looking at what do you truly want, and being and honoring your journey, right? So that it's not about how much you have or don't have. You know, it's about what's right for you and where is your path taking you, and not worrying about where everybody else is at, because they're all having their own experience, right? And I can assure you that they're all having their own challenges too. So even if we think that somebody is like, oh my gosh, they're perfect, their life is perfect, they got everything made, I'm telling you, they probably have their own challenges that they are dealing with. And I think the other aspect of not enough is if we focus on, you know, the lack of something, whether it's a lack of love or a lack of money, or a lack of time, whatever it is, guess what we create? More of it, right? We're coming from a place of lack. And so that's what we experience. It's about shifting over to, what do I have enough of? What am I thankful for? What are the things that I already have in my life? And focusing on those, because that will shift your mindset into a mindset of abundance instead of lack. And I don't mean abundance just in a financial sense. I mean it in terms of all aspects of your life. So when we start to focus on what we do have and what's already in our life, then guess what? More of that positive is going to show up. So where you place your thoughts and your focus has a big, big impact on what you experience. Because you essentially, those inward thoughts, those inward feelings, they create your exterior reality, the life that you are living every day.
You talk about the reprogramming process, Alex, in the book. Can someone really reprogram themselves?
Yes, I really believe that. And, you know, is it going to happen overnight? I know everybody wants it to. So here's the bad news, folks. It won't. Because you may have been carrying, probably you have been carrying some of your beliefs around with you for many, many years. So let's get real. I mean, if you've had a belief for 10, 20, 30 years, 40 years, is it going to disappear overnight and doing one exercise in this book? No. It's going to take a little time. But what does happen if you work through the process that I have in the book, you can shift it and you can retrain your brain to think a different way. And it doesn't take that long. I mean, we're just talking about sort of being consistent and persistent in your work on this. You can shift it in, you know, some people, I've seen some people shift their belief around, you know, money, for example, in literally just a few weeks. It's been amazing to watch. You know, for some people, it takes a bit longer. It depends how deep it's in there, right? Because it's in that subconscious. And it has to, first of all, we have to find what it is. Then we have to unravel it and replace it with something else. But yes, anyone can do it. And, you know, the way I like to think about it or explain it to people is that subconscious that we have, it's kind of like the operating system in your computer. So when you think about using your computer, you use all the desktop applications, you know, you open them, you use them, and it's all great. You don't think that much about the operating system underneath it all, but it's necessary and it's there because it's helping all those other applications work. Our subconscious is our operating system. And so we have to go in there and make sure that the programs that are running are optimized, that they're effective, so that all these different, you know, applications, think of them as sort of aspects of your life, that those are all working for us too. Because if our operating system is not in a good space, if it's sort of counteracting what we want to do in our life, then it's going to keep us stuck. And it will override what we consciously want to do. So if we're thinking consciously that I want to get that big job, or, you know, I really want to find my soulmate, if subconsciously we're thinking, well, I don't think I'm smart enough for that job, or, you know, I really don't deserve to have this perfect soulmate. You know, I don't know. I just don't feel like I deserve to have that love in my life. Then that subconscious is going to override what we want, because the subconscious is about 85% of our mind. So it's a lot. And it's really important to go in there and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, I was just saying, I know that feeling all too well. That do I deserve to be in love?
Yes, absolutely. And that's a big one, right? That's a very common one. It's one of the you know, the top most common ones is sort of, do I deserve this? Whatever it is, do I deserve this money? Do I deserve this happiness? Do I deserve this love? And that one is really about reprogramming how you view yourself and your value and giving yourself some self-love and self-respect. You know, we're so busy giving ourselves to other people and other projects and other things. We don't always stop to essentially give ourselves the compassion and the love and the respect that we deserve and realize that we do, in fact, deserve it. So that's a big one that I often work with people on in terms of reprogramming that and getting them in a better space.
Do you find envy or anything similar to that, that lets, well, envy, I believe a lot of people have envy on people that have more money than what they have, and that's why they go on the attack as far as society goes. The poor seem to attack the rich because they have more money.
Yeah, I mean, coming from envy and jealousy, certainly that a lot of that happens, right? But when you do that, you're not going to get ahead there. I mean, you're basically, what you're doing again is focusing on your lack of something. You're focusing on what someone else has and what you do not have. And that means that you're going to keep yourself stuck there, that you don't have it. And so when we come from that place of jealousy or envy, we really are kind of in a low vibrating feeling. And that's what we're going to attract into our life, is more of the same, more things to be envious of, more things to be jealous of. What we need to do instead is, like I said, focus on you, not what other people have compared to you, but you. And what is it that you want? And what is it that you already have? And look for the abundance that you already have in your life, because I assure you, you have it. You know, sometimes we kind of get so in this downward spiral of nothing is going right. You know, I'm, you know, I don't even, you know, have my own house. I'm, you know, renting a room somewhere, and whatever it is. I mean, we get really down on ourselves, but You can still look at that and find abundance. You have a roof over your head. Some people do not. You know, you are able to pay rent, whatever it is, and actually have your life. I mean, whatever is going on in your life, there's always something to be grateful for. The very fact that you woke up today is something to be grateful for and thankful for, because lots of people today will take their last breath. You know, and not have that anymore. So look for the things that you are thankful for and the things that you have, and just focus on you. Forget about what other people are doing and what they have and you don't have. Focus on you and what you do have, and you will start to create more good in your life. You'll attract those good things in. You'll attract more abundance to you.
Yes, absolutely will. Do you have mechanisms or tips or anything like that you would offer someone to start going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, where you place your focus is a big one. And starting to really monitor that, right? Watch where your thoughts go. Am I defaulting into, oh, I can't believe that happened, right? The sort of the negative. Or do you go to a positive place? So that's one to start with, is sort of monitor your thoughts, almost like you're a neutral observer of yourself, like what's going on there. So that's one of them. And other tools and techniques that I have, and I actually put these in the book, are, you know, in terms of creating your space for yourself, right? Because sometimes we want to sort of evaluate our life. We want to make changes, but how can we when there's so much going on and so many demands on our time? So I talk about this in the book, how to set boundaries on your time so that you can create some me space, some headspace, you know, for yourself. How to say no, that's a big one. A lot, you know, we say yes all the time, right? People ask us to do stuff and we sort of knee jerk yes into it without stopping to really assess, well, wait a minute, do I have the time? Is this a priority for me? You know, is it something I want to do? And I mean, of course, sometimes we're truly needed and there's an emergency and, you know, go. But a lot of time we end up doing things that we might not want to do because we think we should. We think we're obliged to do them. So looking at when and how to say no, and do it in a way that, of course, does not adversely impact relationships. So some of those tools are in there as well. And I think also that the big one that I love that's in there, and it's a whole process around this, but that whole idea of getting clear on what you want, because that is a simple question. What do you want? But so many people have difficulty answering that because we haven't taken the time to truly assess it and get details around it and get clarity around it. But we can very often identify what we don't want. And so I lay out a whole process in there in terms of, you know, looking at what you don't want and then using that as the pivot point, as sort of a jumping off point to get clear on what you do want. And doing that in different aspects of your life so that you can then look at all these things you want and start to see common themes appearing, start to see some different threads that show up in different aspects of your life, and seeing how you start to create that clarity for yourself in terms of what you really want to be creating, and then setting out those action steps to do just that. And the one other thing I would throw out there is also, you know, in terms of placing yourself in that sense of abundance and really putting yourself there instead of lack, you know, practicing gratitude and how to practice gratitude, because that is, practicing gratitude is almost like the shortcut to getting into that abundant mindset, to placing your focus on the positive. Because if you're being grateful for something, you can't be negative about it, right? You can't be focused on lack if you're focused on what you have. So that's another big one that's in there, is the whole notion of gratitude and how you do that every day.
I think the word should is an indicator that you are living someone else's life. Why is that?
Yeah, should is a good one. You know, I think that word, we use it more often than we realize, and it has an impact. So when you find yourself saying should, I always tell people, you know, sort of like little flag go up and ask yourself, whose should is that? Is it your should or is it someone else's should? So, you know, we're often saying, well, I should be doing this, or this is the path I should be on, or these are the things I should be doing. I should be further ahead. Should. You're shooting all over yourself, right? You're setting these expectations for yourself. And yet some of them may not actually be yours. They may actually be creating more angst in your life. So looking at whose should is it actually yours? Do you really believe that you should be doing this thing? Or are you doing it because you're saying, I should, because other people expect me to. Other people will approve if I do this, or other people will disapprove if I don't do it, ergo, I should do it. So the word should, I think, is sort of like a little red flag. And I always kind of mark it with people, you know, if I'm with clients and they say, you know, well, I really should be doing this, I will stop them immediately and say, okay, why do you think you should be doing it? Who says that you should be doing it? Tell me more about that. And we usually unpack it and discover that perhaps it's not their should, it's someone else's. And if you follow all those shoulds that are someone else's, you do end up living someone else's life and not your own. So be careful of your shoulds, and please don't should all over yourself. You know, step back and take a look at that, really examine where it's coming from and what's at the root of that.
What kind of a reaction do you get with people that you tell that to?
Usually they're first surprised. They don't realize they said should. That's a word that we use a lot without realizing it. And our words have real power. You know, we have to be careful with our words, because our words are kind of, they're a reflection of what we're thinking and feeling inside. And when we say something, then we're sort of putting it out there, you know, to the universe, to other people. So we have to be careful with our words, because they do start to attract things to us, right? So first of all, they're usually surprised. Oh, I did say should. You're right. Okay, why do I think I should? So it's kind of like then it becomes a curiosity thing, because they're wondering, why did I say should? Yeah, okay, let's take a look at that and see what's behind it. So it's usually first surprise, and then it's curiosity, because they do want to understand, why did I use that word? Where did it come from? Whose should is this?
Well, we've got just a couple minutes left here. The website is alexbrady.com, and the book website is alexbradybooks.com. Would you like to take just a minute and a half to say anything?
Yeah, and actually, in terms of the book, it's available on Amazon. So that may be the shortcut to go get it. And it's available any which way you like it, paperback, Kindle, audio. And the title again, so folks have it, is From Chaos to Clarity, Getting Unstuck and Creating a Life You Love. And the other thing I'd love to share with your audience, Steve, is that as part of my radio and TV tour, I'm offering your viewers, your listeners, a free 20-minute consultation. So if anyone listening or watching today is feeling stuck or frustrated or burned out or stressed or overwhelmed or anxious about where your life is, I can do a call with you. We can look at where you're at, where you want to be, and how to build the bridge so you can start moving towards that. How do you get there? And to do that, to get in contact with me, just go to my website, alexbrady.com. It's spelled alexbrady.com. Or just send me an email, alex@alexbrady.com.
Well, very good. A lot of good information, and I hope people get the book, and I hope people seek you out. Call you up.
Thank you so much, Steve.
You're very welcome. Alex Brady from Chaos to Clarity, Getting Unstuck and Creating the Life You Love. And we don't have very much time until the music starts coming, and there it is right there. So thank you once again, Alex.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Great to be here.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.